the queen of the night. The path I took was lit by nothing more than slivers of moonlight. The tortured trees of the kingdom sighed in the wind, leaning their bare branches and roots toward me, as if to pull me to them. I went on, careful to avoid the dark water pooled near their bases. For a while, I couldn't be sure where I was heading. The path could have led down to the white shores, toward the hidden grotto where the trapped queen lived, or to the castle, where I would meet Hyacinth. I tried to turn in the direction that I thought would take me to the beach. My feet padded quietly down the winding path. My breaths came shallow and swift. What if Hyacinth kept me from going there? What if he appeared at the end of the path, waiting for me? The piece I had composed played on the night air, a melancholy melody that drifted between the trees. There were no fairies lighting the path tonight, for all of them must have abandoned the woods to join Hyacinth at the castle. I was grateful for their absence. If one were here, it would surely tell Hyacinth the news of my presence. But he was distracted by the festivities he was throwing tonight, waiting for me to bring my brother to him. At last, when I thought I could go no farther, the woods ended, and the path led out onto the shore of white sand. With a start, I realized that the kingdom had permitted me to take the path that my heart wanted to follow, and my heart had led me to the trapped queen. The ocean was no longer the calm blue I remembered. Now, it was so dark that I could no longer see the sand sifting at its bottom, and when I dipped a toe into the water, it no longer felt warm but as cold as the winter sea. I sucked my breath in sharply as I waded in, letting the icy water shock my skin. A short distance away rose the rocks beneath where the grotto lay. I glanced back once at the woods behind me, half expecting to see Hyacinth waiting for me on the shore, his head tilted at me in expectation. But he was not there. I turned back to the ocean, took in a deep breath, and dove. At first, I could see nothing. The water swallowed me whole, pushing against me as I swam deeper, my arms searching for the rough surface of rock. I went on and on, until my lungs began to burn. Had it taken this long for Wulfril and me to find the grotto's entrance when we last entered it? Had it only been a nice memory? The warm, sweet water and the glowing cavern. What if it was no longer there? Perhaps I was too late, and the Queen of the Night had perished alone. Just as I thought my lungs might burst, my hands scraped along rock that curved inward into a tunnel. I pushed myself frantically through the black water, reaching blindly, until I hit the end of the tunnel and felt it curve sharply upward. My legs kicked with the strength of my last breath. I surfaced with a terrible gasp. The cavern had grown darker since the last time I saw it. The blue flowers that had draped down from the cavern ceiling in sweet garlands, filling the air with their heady scent, had withered and died, leaving behind their shriveled shells. The night flowers that crawled along the walls, lighting the space with their blue glow, had turned scarlet as they died, their skeleton husks littering the cavern floor with an ominous red hue. I swam toward dry ground. As I went, the silhouette of a figure hunched against the rock walls, her head in her hands, came into view. Her shoulders shook as she cried. Her legs were still melted into the cavern floor, trapped eternally there. Her wings looked even more tattered and faded than I remembered, hanging limply against her back. But tonight, there was a golden glow about her, as if some remnant of magic were stirring in her blood. The twin moons. Their alignment. I remembered that this would be the night when her power would be at its height, and then I recalled the sun's love for the queen, how he had bestowed her with the magic of his fire. She did not look up at my approach until I pulled myself out of the water. It must have been the sound of my dripping against the rock that shook her out of her reverie. Her face jerked up, and her dark gaze locked straight on to mine. There was no white in her eyes at all. Suddenly, I remembered Hyacinth's old warning to me, that she was a witch who was not to be trusted, and I felt myself yearning even now to heed his advice. Then her sobs quelled some as she took me in, tilting her head this way and that. At last, a glint of recognition appeared.
"You tricked me," she said.
Her blue lips curled into a snarl as her voice echoed off the cavern walls, repeating the words over and over.
"You tricked me, you tricked me. Hyacinth's little Fräulein."
I forced my hands to stop trembling and myself to move forward. "He tricked me, too," I whispered. "He told me that you were the Queen of the Night, but not that you were once the Queen of Back." At my words, she froze. She eyed me suspiciously, as if not quite believing me. And for a moment, I thought that perhaps she didn't remember her past at all. Then she said,
"How do you know this?"
I could barely force the answer from my lips. "Because Hyacinth entered the tallest tower of the castle and killed the princess confined there." There were tears in my eyes now. "Because I did not know any better and helped lead him there." The queen's suspicion changed to shock. In that shock, I suddenly saw not a fairy, nor a creature, but a woman who'd once had a son and a daughter. Her dark eyes blinked, turned moist, filling up until fresh tears ran down her cheeks. It had been her daughter in the tower, and the realization made her crumple there, defeated. I waited, frightened for her to unleash her wrath on me. Instead, she looked up at me with a sad gaze and shook her head.
"He tricked you," she said, "just as he'd once tricked me."
"What do you mean?" I whispered.
"The girl in the tower was you, child," she said. "You still live just as your brother does. But Hyacinth will take you both tonight if you are not careful."
Both of us. I trembled, struggling to understand her. If Wulfril was the princeling of Back, then I was the princess. It was why I saw so much of myself in the girl trapped at the top of the tower, how I'd felt like I was looking into a mirror. Perhaps it was even why I seemed to feel the pain of Hyacinth's teeth sinking into her in that moment, why I woke with visions of blood staining my hands. She was me, and I was her. Hyacinth had devoured the part of my soul trapped in that castle. What he really wanted now was the rest of my heart, the entirety of me. And after I brought him my brother tonight, he would let the illness overcome me and take me with him too.
"Wicked souls always seek to trap us," the queen told me.
Her voice was so lyrical, so sad in its sweetness, that I could feel the crack it made against my heart. "What did he do to you?" I whispered. "I was a young queen who loved her husband and was eager to rule her kingdom. Oh, I had so many ideas. The king would sit and listen to me for hours, writing down all I wanted to do for the villagers, give food and homes to our poor." Her eyes shone for an instant with the past. A wistful smile played on her lips. "And then, in the woods, I encountered a young fairy." I could see it now, the queen's first encounter with Hyacinth, how she must have been as hypnotized by his charms as I once was. He cast a spell on me and led me farther and farther from home. When I tried to find my way back, I only stumbled upon the white sands of this shore. She looked away. "He imprisoned me in here, cursing my legs to forever be trapped as part of this cavern until the day someone came to free me." She turned her eyes up to me again. The glow around her pulsed with a life of its own.
Here I am, and here you are. Have you come to free me? Or are you his messenger again to put me out of my misery? I stared back at her, remembering her fury and frustration the last time I'd seen her. Is it possible to find what you're looking for? I finally asked her. Is it possible to get what you want? These are questions I cannot answer for you, child, she replied. But we must still try. My gaze shifted to the night flowers growing along the wall. There were only a few left now, dying because the spirit of the queen was dying as well. I walked closer to one and ran my finger delicately along its enormous black petals. It cast its scarlet light against my skin. Fill the night flower with water, the queen had said to me when I last stood in this grotto. Pour it on my feet. Free me. I closed my fist around the stem of the flower. I pulled hard. The stem cracked, the flower coming free into my hand. I walked to the grotto's pool and knelt over it, filling the flower with water. Then I returned to the queen and held it over her feet. Perhaps, I said, we should have helped each other all along.